99.1 The Sports Animal brings you inside the fight game of the MMA.
Oh my God.
The weekly one-hour show.
Whoa!
In the Cage MMA Radio.
Dude, this might be a bad idea.
Hosts Vince Ferrara and Tim Loy bring you a unique perspective from inside the sport. Vince is an MMA lead commentator, cage side at many events. Tim Loy is a former MMA organization president and current matchmaker for Valor Fighting Challenge.
From the bottom of my heart, I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Get big-time national MMA interviews, pay-per-view recaps and previews, matchmaking, predictions, strong opinions, compelling content, weekly things you'll learn, and more on In the Cage MMA Radio.
Three-minute rounds. We're underway in Knoxville.
Here's Vince Ferrara.
I rule the world.
Imagine that.
In the Cage MMA Radio. Welcome back, everybody. After a couple of weeks off, we're back with you here on 99.1 The Sports Animal, 99.1thesportsanimal.com, and of course on podcast afterwards, iTunes, Google, or wherever you get your podcast. Subscribe, rate, share. We really appreciate you. I'm Vince Ferrara, along with my co-host, as always. He is the matchmaker for Valor Fighting Challenge, Mr. Tim Loy. Tim, great to be back on with you. How you doing, Tim?
Man, I'm happy to be back as well. It's been a couple weeks. You know, we've finally got some action again. We're coming off a big event this past weekend where we were a little skeptical whether or not they're going to be able to pull it off, and they pulled it off, and it looks like you and I are back in business.
We are. It's great to be back. Find us here on the Sports Animal each Wednesday night from 8 until 9. You can reach out to us on social media, whether it's any feedback, suggestions, questions, topics you want us to cover, or if you'd like to be a sponsor of In the Cage MMA Radio, the great opportunity still available for you. Hit us up on social media, Tim on Facebook, at Tim Loy, or even the Valor Fighting Challenge Facebook page. And then also you can hit me up on Twitter, at Vince Sports, V-I-N-C-E Sports. So no interviews today. We got so much to react to with the UFC being back and pulling off UFC 249. And two more shows. Tonight, we had a UFC fight night and another one Saturday in Jacksonville. It's such a great thing, and we're getting a whole lot in a short period of time. So let's dive right in with the three biggest stories in the sport. One, Tim, obviously, is that UFC 249 finally happened. Dana White was determined to be the first sport back, with NASCAR coming back this weekend and some other sports making plans to come back, excluding wrestling. We love wrestling, but if you take wrestling out of the equation, the UFC was the first major sport that returned. How do you think the overall event went down for Dana White, who certainly thought it was a success?
I would have to agree. I thought it was awesome, man. It was a great event. And, you know, I would have had low standards, honestly, going into this, because I've been without, as we all have, for so long. So even if it were just a mediocre event, I probably would have just thought it was great. But no, it legitimately was a great event. It really delivered from top to bottom. There was a lot of drama. There was a lot of fights. There were some great upsets, a lot of blood. You know, it was overall a great, great fight. And, you know, I thought they pulled off a really good event.
Well, you're right. It was so nice to see a live sporting event, specifically MMA, and then pulled it off without fans, clearly. What'd you think about that? There was a lot of things you could hear that you normally couldn't hear. What'd you make of the lack of fans in the building?
It was definitely interesting. And as we see more shows like this, I think that we're going to be able to tell more like what the real, what the real catalyst is from all this. Like if it really does affect, because, you could hear the commentary guys, they themselves like made note, they're hearing everything we were saying. We better, kind of take it easy here. So, yeah. Fighters are maybe start taking coaching from the commentary position. You could hear the coaches in between rounds, everything they said. You could hear them during the fight a lot of the times, exactly what they're saying, and then, the third thing is, the fighters that draw that energy from the fans, they didn't get those swells, those pops, that we would have definitely had with a lot of these fights. And so it's interesting to see, would that have made a difference if they had just got that extra little adrenaline push?
Yeah, you and I normally get to hear the things that go on in the cage and that sound that came through on the broadcast with you being a matchmaker and a president of an organization, and then also me doing the commentary cage side. We're right there. Corners are right in our ears a lot of times. So you get a chance to hear that. So I think that's really cool for the fans to be able to notice that type of aspect. And how about Greg Hardy admitting that he heard what DC was saying in terms of strategy? He's like, okay, I'll do it. He started checking kicks. That's amazing.
Yeah, you know, it is, especially when it comes to something that will actually maybe make a difference in a big fight. You know, right. Greg Hardy should know that he needs to check those leg kicks. You know, that goes without saying. The reminder from DC, I guess, was a kick in the tail that he really needed to focus on it, if anything. But, you know, in a more high-level situation, maybe a guy's stuck in a submission or, you know, if they were to hear, hey, well, he needs to do this, then they, you know, they hear that and they react to it. It could make a difference.
The broadcast, all three guys were in separate parts. They weren't side by side. They did the split screen with three. I thought they pulled it off great. You really couldn't tell if they didn't call attention to it. I don't think it would have been anything anyone would have noticed. I thought they did an awesome job with it. And that crew with Rogan, Anik, and Cormier, I think, is outstanding. I'm glad they had their A team there for it. And I assume they're going to continue to have that for the next couple of shows also. But Rogan kind of alluded to it that he wished he would have been sitting next to his commentary guys. He was a little bothered by that. And then Dana White was asked about it in the post game, and he reiterated that, hey, everybody was negative after being tested. So he was just kind of, I don't know why they were separated, but he said, we're learning, we're going to be better Wednesday, yeah. Things like that. So what would you make of the whole broadcast separation?
I thought that they pulled it off great. Like you said, they did a good job with it. However, I'm in agreement with Joe at this point. I mean, they're going to let the guys go in there and fight each other, you know, and that's not too close a contact after everyone's been tested negative. Why can't the commentary guys sit next to each other? And it kind of, if you think about it now, you know, it kind of goes back to our last point where we were talking about the fighters hearing what the commentary guys were saying. If the commentary guys are confined to one table on one side of the cage, then that confines their noise output to just that. But if you have three different guys sitting on three different angles of the cage, now you have three different areas where that talk is coming from.
Right. It actually could add to the noise in the building to where it's not as quiet. I know for those of us that watch the WWE, some of their products, there's absolutely nobody in there besides the announcers, the wrestlers, and the ref, that it is so quiet. That's cold and takes away from it. Whereas like an AEW, they have other fellow wrestlers. There's a little bit more background noise going on, so it's a little closer to natural. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no doubt. I think you got a good point there. And one thing I noticed from watching the Korean baseball that started back up this past week is they're piping in crowd noise. Did you notice that? Yeah, I mean, that actually isn't, I don't think, that bad an idea at certain points, like between rounds and things like that and through the intros, just to maybe give that little push of normalcy, if you will, in the fighter's mind.
But you won't see the cheerleaders in the UFC, I promise you that.
No, that's, I love that stuff.
I love the cutouts of the fans' faces in the stands, and they have masks on. They're not actual people, but they still have the mask on. It's pretty funny. President Trump had a video message for Dana White during the broadcast, and he reiterated what he's been saying, that it's so important for sports to come back. He also called Dana White afterwards, and obviously that relationship is very public with the two of them. The UFC 249 prelims on ESPN pulled a 0.7 rating, 1.15 million viewers on ESPN. That's up 30% and 42% of viewership from UFC 237 prelims, which is about the same time last year. The thing is, last year there was a lot more competition. That jump really isn't significant or drastic considering there was nothing else going on. Right. However, their pay-per-view buys seem to be pretty strong. There were 700,000 pay-per-view buys for that main card. And it was also the second highest rated show on ESPN other than The Last Dance. So it still was, I think, appointment viewing for a lot of people. And Dana White said, hey, ESPN is really happy. What do you think of those numbers and the viewership considering the circumstances?
You know, I honestly am surprised that they're that, like, dare I say, low, you know, because it's not low, but, you know, it's still moves the needle. It's still a bump above what, you know, everyone else was putting on ESPN at that point. But I thought it would be huge, honestly. I thought with so little going on that just like so many people, you know, the high pay-per-view number is I'm not surprised by. But honestly, I would have expected more for the ESPN, especially with having like a couple name guys like Cowboy and Pettis.
Yeah, I agree with you. I that's the way I interpret it. Is I thought they'd be better numbers, but there's not anything that you can complain about. And really, it wasn't a ton of lead up to it, obviously, either, that they were coming back. So, yeah, Justin Gaethje, my goodness, he absolutely pounded Tony Ferguson. What were your general thoughts on Gaethje getting that W?
Man, very impressive. I was already a Gaethje fan coming into this, but now I'm just like, I'm on board, you know, like that. He's must see TV now, I think. And, you know, just a kind of a down to earth, humble guy on top of it all, you know. I loved him, man. And I'm not honestly that surprised. I thought that with giving him that amount of time to train, it made the fight much closer than what it would have been with him taking it on short notice.
Didn't you pick Gaethje when we talked about this the first go around?
I did. Just because, you know, he's all heart, man. And he's a guy that, you know, he's going to give you 100% in the middle of the cage, throw it hard, good chin to back it up. And, you know, Tony, I thought that Tony performed admirably. I mean, he ate a lot of hard shots, you know, shots that would have put many a man down many a times. So, like, you know, no question that, you know, that Tony brought it, you know, but, this is a coming out party for Gaethje. It was a huge win, biggest win of his career, and it's going to launch him into a mega fight.
All right, we'll talk more about that, the co-main events, Cejudo Cruz, and much more in our second segment when we go into greater detail on UFC 249. Our second in our three big stories is that Jacare Souza and two of his coaches tested positive for COVID-19. That came out the day of the show on Saturday. The show went on when I think the initial reaction was, oh, my goodness, shut it down right now. How do you think the UFC handled that situation?
I'm glad that they pulled it off, that's for sure, because it gives a little bit of a precedence now, potentially, if, you know, down the road we still get one pop from time to time that sneaks through the cracks, that the show can go on. So that I'm happy about. I think they handled it the best they could given the circumstances. I think it was odd that they had test results coming back that late in the game. That surprised me more than anything. I thought that they would have the results back before they even weighed in.
Supposedly, they're doing testing every day because they found out about Souza on Wednesday. He mentioned to the UFC that, hey, I may have this through family members, but he wasn't sure. So they were initially testing him until that last one did on the day of. The timing, I think, Tim, is because they were continuing to test over again each day. So that was probably why the last one played out.
Okay. Well, that makes sense then, 100%. That means that they're going above and beyond in their protocol in that case then. You know, they're not just letting guys show up, test negative, and then just like letting that be good. You know?
Right. And another aspect of it, though, where it was a little bit iffy is that he suspected that he had it. And there was video from Mauricio Verdum, and he's taking a selfie with him. Then, obviously, he had his mask on at the time. And who knows how many people he was around at that time. That was not social distancing. And then, obviously, the weigh-in as well, where he was there with a mask, fist bump, Uriah Hall. So that's the part of it where you're like, all right, if this guy suspects he has it, why is he around those people and at the weigh-in?
Yeah. I got to concur there, man, because it's like we said, the system worked in the sense of, you know, testing every day, testing regularly. They caught him, they pulled him out, they canceled the fight. It worked there, but the system obviously did not work in regards to keeping the fighters separated like they're supposed to be and kind of quarantined all the way in the lead up and not letting everyone just kind of mish and mash and mingle. That is something that will surely be tightened up as we go forward.
Absolutely. And Tim, here's the big thing is Dana White said that there'll be about 1,100 tests that will be administered, COVID-19 tests, through this week. So here's the thing. And he said, look, it's likely that there's going to be more people that are going to test, but with the process we have, the system will work. Here's the thing. They have to hope that no one that came in contact with Souza came in contact with him after he got there on Wednesday.
And obviously he was in contact with people.
Right. So if we don't get anything from them, then they're going to be fine. But if you can connect the dots back to any of those guys, that's where I think the UFC is going to come under some criticism. And to Dana White's credit, all right, people are bashing him, but to his credit, he admitted that the optics looked really bad for that in his press conference. But he said the contact wasn't for very long. It wasn't perfect. He said it'll get better each and every time. So I give him credit for at least admitting that, it looks bad, but I think we're okay with it.
I agree 100%. I think, we won't really know the answer to that for about another week.
Right.
So we get through another week or so and nothing really comes of it, then I think we're okay. And then what's the number? How many is okay? You know what I mean? Like, how many is like, okay, well, we knew that he was in contact with Verdum and a couple other people. So if we got 3 or 4 positive tests out of it, is that a win or what,
Yeah. We're going to get a little long in this first segment, but there's so much still we need to get to, and we will preview UFC Fight Night tonight and on Saturday. Those two are coming up, plus some other news of future events. So we still got a ton more coming up here on In the Cage MMA Radio. I'm Vince Ferrara along with Tim Loy. So the weigh-in, should that have even happened? Why did it happen? How important was it to have all those people kind of gathered, even if they stayed 6 feet apart, except for Dana?
Well, in hindsight now, that will probably, if we do get positive tests springing from Jacare, there's a good chance that it will be as a result of that weigh-in. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that,
Yeah.
So, if we're still waiting on positive or negative tests to come in on fight day that we're willing to accept, then one has to concur that the weigh-in is not necessary because you're essentially bringing everyone together when there's still another test you're waiting on that could pull a guy from the fight. So I gotta say the weigh-ins should probably be private right now, individually even, and without face-offs. That's just my opinion, based on the fact that they're still testing people
right
that day and waiting on the results to come back.
Yeah, if you're taking the measures you are, I that to me seems like an unnecessary risk for media attention. I think that's something that probably needs to be skipped, but he's reiterated that, look, everybody that was there was negative. Well, you thought everyone was because you didn't know about Souza at the time. Another thing that Dana White was asked about in the post-fight that people were talking about during the event was a tweet from a reporter, Steven Espinoza, who said that fighters had to sign off on losing their purse if they said anything negative about the health procedures of the UFC. And Dana White said, there's a disparagement clause in everyone's contract. Say if you came out and said the UFC never tested me when they actually did, but if you said something critical that was true, that would not be disparagement. And he absolutely obliterated the guy. I don't really know Steven Espinoza, but what's your reaction to that?
Man, I think that a disparagement clause is fairly common in all contracts, fight contracts. I believe we've got one in the Valor contract, for that matter. So that isn't really that crazy. If indeed it's only a disparagement clause, I don't think it's really a big deal. And I think that Steven Espinoza is, if I can recall correctly, is tied to Showtime Boxing. Hmm. So, he would have an interest potentially in blowing that up into a bigger deal than it is.
All right, our third in our three big stories, and obviously there is a lot. Two more UFC events, one tonight with the UFC Fight Night, another one on Saturday. They're back in Jacksonville. A couple of fighters that have come through Valor Fighting Challenge will be on each of those two cards. OSP tonight, Eric Anders on Saturday. Your thoughts on those cards overall?
There's certainly a bit of a step back from what we just saw, but that's to be expected. They just gave us a super card. They gave us a they really put their best foot forward out of the gate. So there is some potential for, dare I say, let down here for your average fan. But that's really just because of the lack of name value. That's not to say that these cards can't deliver some great action and some new stars emerge with a lot of eyes on this broadcast and get a chance to make their name out there on national television.
That's Tim Loy. I'm Vince Ferrara here on In the Cage MMA Radio. We'll review UFC 249 fight by fight. We'll discuss those divisions as well. That's next on In the Cage MMA Radio.
For the first time in some time, hope reappears in the sports world. The NFL has announced their schedule for 2020. The PGA resumes play June 11th. NASCAR scheduled to resume May 17th. Major League Baseball's discussing return date possibilities. And your Tennessee Volunteers are piling up commitments like the 1990s. 99.1 The Sports Animal shares your hope of once again cheering for a great play. The making of a new star. And that snapshot in time that is etched in our collective minds forever. When news breaks about the sports we all love, you'll hear it here. 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Close your eyes. Let your mind escape. It's a beautiful day. The sky is a brilliant blue and temperatures are soaring. Now is the time to make your dream come true. Call Pools by Heritage and enjoy your new pool this summer. For over 30 years, Heritage has been building quality gunite pools. From design and construction to maintenance, Heritage does everything in-house. Plus, Heritage can add an outdoor kitchen, pool house, outdoor fireplace, or fire pit. Call 947-7527 or learn more at poolsbyheritage.com.
We are strong and we'll get through this together, but these are stressful times. Reach out to someone, connect with your friends, and know that you are not alone. Visit wearebroadcasters.com/hope, furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Benchmark Physical Therapy is a leading physical therapy provider dedicated to bringing you back to your best. Benchmark focuses on proven methods to get you back in the game. Benchmark has more advanced certified clinicians than anyone in the region and outcomes that exceed national standards. Benchmark therapists know the importance of establishing trust with their patients, which leads to more positive outcomes. Remember, you have a choice in where you go for physical therapy, so go to benchmarkphysicaltherapy.com to find a location near you. Benchmark Physical Therapy, your journey to better health starts here.
When you step into Big Kahuna Wings, you'll experience something rare these days. Less TVs, less noise, a relaxing atmosphere that's about quality time and quality food.
It's where we feel right at home with our family and friends, sharing stories and amazing menu options.
Salads, sliders, wraps, it's all so good.
You gotta try the new Southern Caviar Burger, topped with flavors that will blow your mind.
Big Kahuna Wings. Change your taste buds forever. 12828 Kingston Pike in Farragut and 7804 Montview Center Way near Westtown Mall. BKWings.com.
At Coyote, we're going to treat you like dirt, because we hold dirt in the highest regard. We're honored to find it under our fingernails. It keeps us humble, honest. If you know us, you know getting treated like dirt means getting treated with respect. Coyote, we dig dirt.
Your Coyote dealer is Green's Tractor Company in Sneedville. Call 423-733-2272 or go to greenstractor.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Jarnigan. When you're at the game, what's going on at your home? Bet you didn't think a whole lot about that, but you should. Contact Safety Systems, 693-0095. You can be hooked up to see security cameras in your home. You'll know it's protected from fire. Everything you worry about can be off your plate at Safety Systems. They're at 2051 Castaic Lane in Knoxville, right off Hardin Valley. Check them out, safetysystems.com.
It's Fox Toyota's last chance clearance event. Get big discounts and low rates on all remaining 2019s. If you've been thinking about a new RAV4, Highlander, or Tacoma, now is a great time to buy. Visit Fox Toyota in Clinton for special last chance offers during the last chance clearance event. Just off I-75, exit 122, only 20 minutes from downtown Knoxville.
Fox Toyota just makes sense.
Visit online at foxtoyotaclinton.com.
Johnson, I've been hearing about this internet thing. Anything to it?
Yeah, boss. We had Cumulus Digital design and run our website.
Will an internet help our sales?
Already has. Plus, Cumulus Digital helps us rank high on search engines.
Whoa, one thing at a time, Johnson.
CumulusDigital.com.
Now it's time for In the Cage MMA Radio's weekly marquee interview. Letting you hear from the personalities inside the sport. In the Cage.
And
you make sure you're connected. The writing's on the wall. But if your mind's neglected.
Welcome back to In the Cage, MMA Radio, 99.1 The Sports Animal, 99.1thesportsanimal.com. I'm Vince Ferrar, alongside Tim Loy. It's our weekly MMA radio show, In the Cage, MMA Radio, Wednesday nights, 8 to 9. Find us on podcast, Google, and iTunes, anywhere you get your podcast. Make sure you subscribe, share, and rate us there. Lots to get into. We talked about our three big stories in our first segment. We're going to get into the UFC fight night tonight and coming up on Saturday with two more UFC events as the sport is back in Jacksonville. Dana White pulled it off, and now we've got MMA to talk about, and we'll also hit you up with some notes in our final segment as well, a Hall of Fame edition that the UFC announced as well. We'll tell you about that coming up in our lightning round a little bit later. All right, Tim, the main event on that main card, the highlight, Justin Gaethje beats El Kakoui. Tony Ferguson finished him off by TKO towards the end of round number five, wins the interim lightweight title, which he wanted no part of. He tossed that bad boy like he was an underhand tossing in softball to a batter. So he said he'll wait for the real one. You talked about how impressive he was in our first segment. Why was he the best version of Justin Gaethje that we have seen?
Man, you know, sometimes certain people just step up when the spotlight's on, you know, and Gaethje seems to be that type of guy. You know, he came into this thing confident, had enough time to really prepare himself, unlike the original booking a few weeks back that got canceled at the last minute. So, you know, he went out there and took the spotlight, man. I mean, now in front of a lot of people, the only game in town that night, you know, he was coming out party for Gaethje. Now Gaethje is going to be in some marquee fights. You know, they're talking about Khabib. They're talking about Conor. You know, there's there now, you know, we're talking about, you know, Ferguson was a big fight, but the next fight will be where he really cashes in.
Tony Ferguson, with his ability to take punches, and that was tested. Gaethje knocks out guys normally with his power, and Ferguson kept taking him. Did damage. Ferguson has a fractured orbital bone, just couldn't continue. I thought that was a good stoppage. What did you think of the stoppage?
I thought it was good. You know, yeah. To Ferguson's credit, he was, you know, a warrior. You know, he took a lot of damage, but at that moment, it looked like he broke, and, you know, he was starting to turn away from the fight. He didn't want any more at that point. He was getting lit up. That left hook from Gaethje was just, it was just there all night, and that's his heaviest punch.
And Ferguson had a moment, I guess it was, what, the end of round two, that big uppercut that put Gaethje down, but it was at the end of the round, so he couldn't take advantage of that.
Yeah, when that happened, I was like, this could be it. This could be, you know, this could be the turning point of the fight, but there was just not enough time left to pounce on him and really finish the job, and that minute in between was enough for Gaethje to get his wits back.
Gaethje now 7 fights, 9 fight bonuses, equaling $450,000. That's big time. So great job by Gaethje. You could see him with Khabib. You could see him with Conor. Conor calling him out. It looks like Dana White is saying, hey, we're working towards the title fight rather than the entertainment fight that Conor wants. And it looks like that could be destined for the island in the summer, Gaethje versus Khabib. We'll talk more about that in the coming weeks, but just love those options that the UFC has. All right, co-main event, Tim, the messenger, Henry Cejudo, Triple C, beat Dominic Cruz, TKO round two, 458. Obviously, at the end of that round, Cejudo hangs on to one of his belts, a bantamweight belt. What'd you think first of the stoppage towards the end of the round when some people thought, hey, he was trying to get up?
This stoppage I didn't like as much. Just taking into a few factors, yeah, he was starting to rise, starting to get up. B, it's a title fight, man. It's a title fight, and this is Dominic Cruz, and there's 2 seconds left in the round.
Right.
You know, I think just given those factors, you let it go another couple. And see, he's starting to get up, so he's probably not going to take more than one more shot at that point. You let him get through the round and see what happens in the third. You know, again, it's a title fight, it's a co-main event. It's Dominic Cruz, man. You know, I feel like you gotta let him try at that point. Now, if it were early in the round, you know, then I would probably not feel exactly the same.
Totally agree. I would have liked to have seen them let Cruz finish that round and see where it goes. I thought Cruz did a good job. Cejudo was incredibly sharp. And Cejudo now joins Daniel Cormier as the only fighters to defend a UFC title in two different weight classes. That's also insane. And what was also shocking, Tim, was Cejudo announcing his retirement to Joe Rogan afterwards. And he was like, hey, I'm 33 years old. I've been working as an athlete since I was a kid. Obviously, the Olympics and then moving into MMA. He's just ready to make a family and walk away at 33. He said, Triple C, I'm out. But people are skeptical that Cejudo, in the prime of his career, a two-belt champion, that he would walk away. What do you think of that retirement announcement?
Ah, man, I'm not sold on it. You know, I think it's a play to, you know, his contract negotiations are here. I think that, you know, he's probably not getting the offers that he thought that he would get. I don't know that he is the draw that he thinks he is. He's a heck of a talent, and he's very good. But I also don't think that he's going to be able to get the kind of money that he's expecting, because I don't know that he moves the needle financially for the UFC like he thinks he does. I think he'll be back, but I think he's going to have to bend a little bit.
Yeah, it certainly seems that way. Now, one other factor was Dana White admitted in interviews and in the post-fight that Cejudo's been talking about retirement for a couple of months. And Dana White's stance on it is, if you're talking about retirement, then you should go. And he didn't seem all that broken up. They said they're going to give him a week and him think about it, and they're going to call him and say, is this true? Are you ready to go or not? And if he says, yeah, I'm retiring, then they'll move on and they'll matchmake the next day in meetings. So maybe Dana White just kind of covering for him a little bit. What do you think?
I think Dana's got his poker face on, man. I think they're both going to call at this point. And Dana's expecting him to either buckle a little or realize that the UFC will continue on. Again, I don't know that he is the draw that he feels like he is.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's a good chance the UFC would be more than willing to just, you know, go back to the drawing board and put that belt on someone else. Both belts.
Let's talk about some of the other fights. Feature bout, Francis Ngannou beat Yair Rosenstruck in 20 seconds. Boy, that guy is devastating. And man, what can you say? He just had a fourth straight fight that he has finished somebody in just a matter of seconds.
Hey, yeah, it wasn't pretty. It was when you watch it back, you know, it wasn't the greatest form that you've ever seen. Right. But man, is he effective? You know, he's super effective. He's super strong, and when he's aggressive and goes for it, then he's a danger to everyone. I was a little surprised that it just went like that, you know. But you know, props to him. At the end of the day, Vince, you and I are tuning in to see Francis's technique.
This is true. People want to see those devastating knockouts. And now it looks like, according to what Dana White says, that, hey, it's his time. He's number two in the rankings. They're going to update those at some point now. After this week, I think, is when they probably will. They're not worried about it now. But Stipe has it. Stipe has been injured, hadn't been able to return. They want to get Stipe versus Cormier. And it sounds like either Stipe needs to be ready to go and fight DC. If not, then they need to move on. So I think we'll see that in the future. Another guy that was really impressive was Calvin Kattar in beating Jeremy Stephens. Also on the main card, we saw Greg Hardy get a win over Jorgen De Castro by unanimous decision. Any thoughts on those two fights?
I thought Kattar, Kattar's a guy that I've always been impressed with, man. He always, he fights tough guys. He's in exciting fights, and he just doesn't go away. He's got a great chin, and you know, this was one that he had to endure some tough moments in the first round. But the second round, he knocked out Jerry Stevens. He's always a tough out. I think we'll see Kattar move up to another big – I'd like to see him in a big fight next. You know, I'd like to see him get a crack at, a top five or six guy. As for Hardy, man, I wasn't that impressed with either guy. I thought that was a bit of a slog. I thought that, as we mentioned earlier, the leg kicks were eating up Hardy early in the fight. But then De Castro just kind of stopped fighting in the third round.
Nope, you're absolutely right. In the prelims, boy, you mentioned it earlier. There's some big names that were on that prelim that was on ESPN. It was highlighted by Showtime Anthony Pettis beating Cowboy Donald Cerrone. And that's not the best version of either one of them for their name value. I get it, but it was still a pretty quality fight, I thought.
Yeah, you know, it was good. It was an entertaining fight. I thought that Pettis, you know, definitely got the job done. But it wasn't just a shining moment for either guy. I don't know what we do with Cerrone now. You know, Cerrone, you know, I guess maybe Cerrone and maybe Felder. I don't know. Just to like headline like an ESPN card or something, you know. But, man, it's a tough tough go for Cerrone because now I think he starts taking steps backwards out of those marquee fights.
You saw Alexei Oleinik beat Fabricio Werdum. Look, Werdum has never been the most cut guy, but I didn't think he looked great in that fight and lost on the judges' scorecards. Carlos Esparza beat Michelle Waterson, two of the great nicknames in this fight, the Cookie Monster against the Karate Hottie. The decision went to Esparza, Tim. I thought Waterson won two of the rounds, but it wasn't convincing over the top. But 30-27 decisions for Esparza. I did not agree with that at all.
It's really rare that you get 30-27 going both ways.
Right.
You know, both fighters had a 30-27 card, you know, so that is definitely judges, two judges looking at two very different fights there, you know. A big win for Esparza, you know, she should be back up fighting in a top five fighter next. Waterson is one that, you know, this was you know, a fight that she just hasn't been able to get over the hump when it comes to just knocking off those top girls, you know, so it'd be interesting to see what they do with her next. Werdum looked terrible. Yeah. That was, I can't believe he didn't get knocked out, you know, really. Is I don't know if it's really more telling that Oleinik couldn't get him out of there at the same time, but yeah, I mean, both guys, I don't think either guy looked just outstanding, but Werdum looked dangerously bad.
And then I thought two of the better fights on the card were early on in Vicente Luque beating Nico Price. Man, the damage on Price in the end. He was finally finished by TKO in the third round. And then on the early prelims, Thug Nasty, Bryce Mitchell representing Arkansas. My goodness, man, he was dominant on the ground against Charles Rosa, a good fighter. Ryan Spann, the first fight, beat Sam Alvey. But that Mitchell win and the Luque win, I thought were two of the better, more entertaining fights on the entire card.
Yeah, you know, I thought that Luque and Price was – I thought it would be a war, and it was. The first round, Nico had a really good accounting for himself. Arguably won the first round, honestly. Maybe not. But, you know, Luque really is just kind of like a machine. You know, he's so compact and tight and everything's just – as soon as you throw, he throws one back, you know, and he's a super tough guy. Both guys are really tough. Luque continues that rise up the ranks. Bryce Mitchell put on a clinic, man. Charles Rosa was talking a little talk before saying that he was going to take Bryce Mitchell's arm. And so I saw Bryce really just pushed him into a pretzel the entire fight, complete domination over a black belt.
That's Tim Loy. I'm Vince Ferrara. We'll preview the Wednesday tonight, UFC Fight Night, and the Saturday UFC Fight Night. We'll preview those events next on In the Cage MMA Radio.
The Big Kahuna Wing Festival is back Sunday, September 6th. Join us at World's Fair Park in downtown Knoxville for the 8th annual Big Kahuna Wing Festival, featuring over 20,000 pounds of some of the best wings in the South. The Big Kahuna Wing Festival also includes wing competitions, live music, a fireworks laser show, and more. It's great fun for your entire family. The 8th annual Big Kahuna Wing Festival, Sunday, September 6th at World's Fair Park. Tickets go on sale Monday, July 6th at bkwfestival.com.
When there's stuff that you want gone, give a buzz to Junk Be Gone.
Hey, Will, it's time to call Junk Be Gone and get rid of all that stuff we don't want.
Sounds good, Josh. What do you think? Driveway dumpster or full service?
Well, I'm thinking driveway dumpster. Junk Be Gone drops it off. We get to load it up for up to 7 days, and they come pick it up. Goodbye, junk.
I don't know, Josh. I'd go with Junk Be Gone's full service. You just call them. They do all the loading. No sweat, no hassle. You just point and smile.
No, I like the idea that we can take our time with the driveway dumpster. In just 7 days, we can go through the whole office and get rid of what we don't want.
I understand, but with Junk Be Gone's two-man team, they can carry out that old ratty couch from the green room or take down that old desk upstairs that has a leg missing, all while I watch the game.
Okay, Will, let's just agree to disagree. I'll go with the driveway dumpster. You can be lazy and call full service.
Whether you choose Junk Be Gone's full service or their driveway dumpster, give a buzz to Junk Be Gone at 865-675-JUNK or book online now at junkbegone.biz.
Give a buzz to Junk Be Gone.
Since its beginning in 1968, Kitchen Sales has been Knoxville's source for fine kitchen and bathroom cabinetry. Besides carrying one of the largest selections in cabinets you'll find anywhere in East Tennessee, Kitchen Sales prides itself in being competitive with salvage store pricing while still offering free in-home consultation and design services. Kitchen Sales offers cabinets ranging from a low-budget line to a fully custom line. Whether it's a remodel, new construction, or a commercial job, their only goal is to make you a satisfied customer. Kitchen Sales experts will work with every customer to make their dreams become a reality. Don't forget to ask an expert about countertops, appliances, and available financing. Two locations, downtown at 2500 Hoyt Avenue, just off of Cherry Street on I-40, and in West Knoxville at 8859 Town and Country Circle. Kitchen Sales is ready to turn your home into a showplace. From design services to project completion, your one stop should be Kitchen Sales. For more information, check out their website, kitchensales.net.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-445-6363. That's 800-445-6363. 800-445-6363. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health issue and company and other factors. Not available in all states.
What big events are coming up in MMA?
Well, right now, Vince and Tim have the answers.
This is the pay-per-view and MMA show preview on In the Cage MMA Radio.
Don't want to be a player. I'm not a player.
Back here on In the Cage MMA Radio. Great to have you with us. 1 hour MMA show here on the Sports Animal each Wednesday night from 8 until 9 with Tim Loy. I'm Vince Ferrara. So let's preview the two other UFC events this week in Jacksonville with UFC Fight Night tonight and then on Saturday. Let's start with tonight as your main event is third-ranked Anthony Smith against eighth-ranked Glover Teixeira in a light heavyweight bout. Tim, what do you think about this main event?
It's interesting. You know, I'm a little surprised that Anthony Smith is the favorite here. I think that Glover Teixeira wins this fight, man. I think Glover is a guy that has only lost to the elite. Anthony Smith is, to me, is still kind of a glorified gatekeeper. He's had good performances as of late, but I think that there's nothing that he does better than Teixeira, and I think that Glover Teixeira, if he gets into the ground especially, will be victorious.
Yeah, and do what I mentioned yesterday, there were the weigh-ins, so it looks like all the fights are still on, and most people made weight. Ben Rothwell in the co-main event taking on Knoxville's Ovince St. Preux from KMAA. This was interesting. Ovince moving up to heavyweights, as you know, take on a tough veteran in Rothwell, but Ovince at a much different weight that we're used to seeing him here in this more natural weight class for him.
Yeah, you know, it's something we've talked about here for the past couple months, and it's finally happening. So it'll be interesting to see how this experiment plays out. You know, Ovince coming in at 240 pounds. That's, you know, heavier, I think, than he generally walks around at, you know, to cut to 205. So one would have to imagine Ovince is going to have the speed advantage over Rothwell, but Rothwell will still have 20 pounds, 25 pounds on him, and is a natural heavyweight that likely cuts down to 265. So it's no easy task for Ovince in that, you know, Rothwell's not a guy that gets knocked out. He's got a good chin. If Ovince's power translates to heavyweight, then obviously with his speed and athleticism advantages, then, you know, he can get that stoppage, but I think it's going to be tough. So I think that Ovince's gas tank hopefully will hold up for three rounds carrying the additional weight, because just in case Rothwell doesn't go away easily in the first round, it could be a situation where he needs that reserve in the tanks in the third round. He wouldn't want to favor the big 265-pound guy on top of you.
That's on the main card on ESPN in Jacksonville. And then another fight that we've kind of talked about, Alexander Hernandez is ranked 15 in the lightweight division. He's taking on Drew Dober, who beat Scott Hot Sauce Holtzman back in 2016, one of the few losses for Hot Sauce. And Alexander is a guy that, if he loses, could open up a slot at 15. But then again, now it could very well go to Drew Dober. That's a position that Hot Sauce would love to be in that spot to fight a ranked guy, right?
Sure, this is his prime position for Dober to make a move. And, you know, he's hanging right around the same ranking as Scott, just kind of in that, like, 16 to 25 range, you know, that could make an entrance here. I think a lot of hype was on Alex Hernandez with the win over Benil Dariush, but, you know, he didn't look nearly as good against Cowboy Cerrone, who obviously is a much more seasoned guy, much like Dober. You know, Dober's 22-9, man. That guy is well-rounded and seems to improve every time. And I like Drew Dober to get this win, actually.
Anything jump out to you with the rest of the fights?
You know, Ricky Simone and Ray Borg is really good. It'll be interesting to see if Ray Borg can make that transition back up to 135 after missing 25 against a guy, Ricky Simone, that is, he's lost a few in a row to top-level competition, but he's a big, hulking 135. Also, Andre Arlovski, that's a name everybody knows, but I think here he's the gatekeeper against the newcomer, Felipe Lenz, who won the PFL championship with $1 million a couple years ago. Other than that, man, it's a lot of prospects, you know, a lot of contender series type guys, you know, looking to make their way up the ranks on the prelims.
All right. And then Saturday, main event, Alistair Overeem against Walt Harris, heavyweight bout to rank guys, 8 versus 9. What do you think of that one?
Yeah, this is an interesting one. I think there'll be a lot of attention on Walt Harris with the tragedy that happened with his daughter. And I know the ESPN's doing like a special on it. I think Alistair Overeem represents a really big step up in class, though, as far as the guys that Walt's been beating. You know, this is a big step up. So a win over Overeem is a big win for Walt Harris and potentially catapults him up to a top five fight next, I think, just because so many of those matchups have already kind of happened up there. I think he could be a guy that they would possibly put against Ngannou if he were to win this fight, if Ngannou doesn't want to wait to fight for the title. Other than that, man, you know, I think there's a lot of good fights, you know, underneath it with a lot of ranked people.
Yeah, who do you like in Gedalia versus Hill? Gedalia's ranked. Hill's not ranked. What do you think about that women's strawweight bout?
You know, Gedalia, I would think Gedalia normally would be your favorite here, but she's been out for like a year and a half, and she's had fights like almost happen, and then they fall off the day before. Angela Hill's been very steady, and so Angela Hill, I think, enters the rankings with a win here. It's a tough fight, but I think Angela Hill's got everything to gain.
Yeah, ranked fighters, Danny Gay, Edson Barbosa. And then Eric Anders against Christoph Jotko. That was supposed to happen a couple of months ago. Marvin Vairai against Song Yadong. That is a battle of ranked guys. And then another guy we've seen in Nate Landwehr taking on Darren Elkins on the prelim. What jumps out about any of those?
Man, I love a lot of those fights. Barbosa, Ige, that's going to be an all-action fight. Eric Anders, a guy we're familiar with here from Valor. I think he's going to have the athleticism advantage over Jotko and get a finish there. Marlon Ferris and Song Yadong, those guys both throw. They're both high-action fighters. Great way to kick off the main card. That's a fight of the night contender to me. And then, of course, like you mentioned, Nate the Train Landwehr. He lost his UFC debut. He'll be looking to come in here and right the ship against Darren the Damage Elkins, a guy who's got, the wrestling advantage, but he's also just kind of up there in years and he's slowed down some. So if he gets into a battle in the pocket with Nate the Train, I think you could see Nate Landwehr get that first UFC win over a guy with a lot of experience.
That's Tim Loy. I'm Vince Ferrara. The MMA lightning round with a UFC Hall of Fame announcement, plus the future of regional MMA. All that is next on In the Cage MMA Radio.
When special guests call in to 99.1 The Sports Animal, you hear them on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline, stanleyfence.com.
Hey, folks, Gerald Anderson with Ted Russell Nissan. Let's do business. We got Rogue Sports starting at just $17,888, Murano's $23,888, Altima $16,888, or how about a little Versa for just $88,88? All with a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty. Rates as low as 0% financing, terms up to 84 months, and gets that low, low payment. And don't forget, if it'll drive, it's worth $5,500. That's for any vehicle you can pull on our lot. Not up to, but guaranteed $5,500. Got a little nicer trade-in with a clean Carfax? How about up to $10,000? So bring that sled to Ted right here on Kingston Pike.
One trade for new car deal, Tennessee Residential, pay tax, $595 fee. The Y has been serving our East Tennessee community for over 160 years. And while our gyms were temporarily closed, the Y never stopped working. Behind the scenes, the Y stayed open, providing free emergency child care for essential personnel who needed us the most. The Y never took a day off, but now we're able to reopen our gyms, and so it's time for you to get back to work too. Come back to the Y, where you'll be able to reconnect and recommit to healthy habits for a healthy life. Join us now at ymcaknoxville.org. Need a little help around the house? Made for You is your answer. Spend more time doing the things you like with the ones you love and call 717-3008 or go online to MAID4ULLC.com. Made for You Cleaning Service. We'll sweep you off your feet.
Master Remodelers is a full-service remodeling company from the first consultation through design, the pre-construction meeting, and constant communication. You can expect a smooth project from the very beginning. Call 458-0416 or online at remodelingknoxville.com.
One word to describe, I guess, for me, how it's been, I guess, maybe tradition. It has been a huge part of my life since I was a kid, and I watched my family, my grandparents especially, make everything from scratch. But the family part, I think, to me was, you know, where the real tradition of it comes.
Big Kahuna Wings, the wings that changed it all. BKWings.com.
Alcoa Tim Federal Credit Union, a place where you
Alcoa 10 Federal Credit Union has helped people save money for over 80 years. Whether it's free checking, financing a vehicle, or purchasing that new home, Alcoa 10 is here to help you. Better rates, better service. Check them out at atfcu.com.
Alcoa 10 Federal Credit Union, a place where you
Member NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
Benchmark Physical Therapy is a leading physical therapy provider dedicated to bringing you back to your best. Benchmark focuses on proven methods, people helping people. Benchmark has more advanced certified clinicians than anyone in the region and outcomes that exceed national standards. Benchmark therapists know the importance of establishing trust with their patients. With over 30 locations in the Knoxville area, we have one close to you. Benchmark is now partnering with Dreher Physical Therapy in Straw Plains, Carnes, and West Knoxville. Visit BenchmarkPT.com for a location near you.
Johnson, I've been reading about this geofencing. Know anything about it?
Yeah, boss. We use geofencing through Cumulus Digital to help drive our sales.
How does it work?
We pick precise locations, and whenever a customer enters that location, they see our ads.
That's what I thought.
CumulusDigital.com.
Hi, I'm Brian Chapman, your local GEICO agent. My staff and I would love to help you save on all your insurance needs, including car, home, boat, and more. My local GEICO office is located on Kingston Pike in Knoxville. So stop by or give us a call for a free quote.
There's still a lot of MMA to tell you about and react to. Since we're short on time, we'll have to make it quick. But we promise it'll be good. Here's the MMA Lightning Round on In the Cage MMA Radio.
In the Ferrari or Jaguar, switching four lanes from the top down, screaming out money ain't a thing.
Bubble hard in the double law, flash the rings with the window crack, holla back, money ain't a thing.
Back on In the Cage MMA Radio, it's Lightning Round time. Tim Loy, Vince Ferrara here each Wednesday night from 8 until 9. Tim, the UFC announced during UFC 249 that George St. Pierre will be inducted into the Hall of Fame. Certainly one of the most popular fighters and talented fighters the UFC's ever seen, so that no surprise there for GSP. Another note, UFC interim title challenger Kelvin Gastelum accepted a 9-month suspension from the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency, second positive test for marijuana. So we'll see appeal or where that goes, but Gastelum is tagged for that. Tim, what's the status of Bellator and other national promotions returning now that the UFC has shown that they could pull this off?
Well, from what I've gathered, Bellator is going to be looking to do some closed set shows throughout the summer. I know that they've got several shows that they need to get in the can for Paramount and DAZN. So they're looking at going without crowds. Probably, if I had to guess, in July is when we'll see them start coming back. I know that there is some talks of some various states that would be in the running to host some of these events. You know, I know that Tennessee is a state that they are looking into, as well as Kansas and some other states. So hopefully we get some news on Bellator getting back in the mix sooner than later.
Very good. Can't wait to see that. So You mentioned Tennessee as a possible destination for Bellator. At least there's some interest there. What's any update you might have on Valor Fighting Challenge returning and maybe other regional organizations getting back going?
It looks like you're going to start seeing regional shows start back up in it looks like in June. I'm starting to see some other regional promotions starting to announce that they'll be running in mid to late June. For us here with Valor, you know, the main thing, you know, the state of Tennessee is not restricting our doing the shows at this point. They're behind it. It's really more a city of Knoxville situation. And so right now we're waiting on the nightlife to return essentially because the world famous Cotton Eye Joe, our home, is a honky tonk, if you will. So once they allow venues of that ilk to reopen with at least a capacity of say 25%, you know, the Cotton Eye Joe holds about 2,000 people. So 25% would be about the number we're looking for to be able to make things work. So, you know, I more or less, like if you see the Cotton Eye Joe up and running, then you'll see us not far behind. So that's kind of what we're waiting on. It's a tough waiting game because, you know, you got to promote it. You got to be able to get the word out there and things like that. And you don't want to put something out till you know that we're clear.
Interesting. So hopefully that will happen soon and we'll get it back going. A lot that we're going to review next week with tonight's UFC Fight Night, Saturday's UFC Fight Night. We'll review both of those next Wednesday night, 8 until 9. Talk about some other future fights that have been decided on, and there'll be much more. Who knows what the MMA and the sports world will bring between now and next week. Obviously, Dana White says a lot of the sports organizations are reaching out to him, even some of the states. How did you pull this off successfully? And so we'll see what that does to get the rest of the sports going. Tim, enjoyed it as always. Continue to stay safe, and we'll talk to you next week.
Looking forward to it, my man.
All right. That is the great Tim Loy, matchmaker for Valor Fighting Challenge. I'm Vince Ferrara. You guys have a super week. Stay safe. And thanks to our medical and frontline personnel for everything you're doing for us. We'll talk to you next Wednesday night, 8 p.m. here on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
A lot of those big cash offer companies have stopped providing cash offers for home sellers. Here's the cash offer program I'm recommending. Tracy King with your Home So Guaranteed Realty, Kings of Real Estate, a team, where their name is their promise. Tracy King is open for business right now, and he is making selling your home convenient and safe. Tracy can provide you with a 24-hour cash offer for your home, and you can pick the closing day. Secondly, you can also list your home traditionally for top dollar and utilize Tracy's powerful home buyers program. Tracy's buyer programs guarantee you top dollar, and if your home doesn't sell, Tracy guarantees in writing that he'll buy it. You're covered both ways, with an upfront 24-hour cash offer that you can accept right away, or sell it traditionally with Tracy's powerful buyer systems offering a top dollar, a fast sale, plus a written guarantee. Make that call to Tracy King and sell your home right away. 365-2323. That's 365-2323.
The proceeding was a paid announcement.
This is for ours.
There's nothing like making a meal with every pot and pan you own.
Ours of dishes.
Savor every bite of this meal, chef, because for dessert, you'll be having
dishes.
Ditch the dishes and get Taco Bell's $5 Chalupa Cravings box instead. A Chalupa Supreme, beefy five-layer burrito, crunchy taco, cinnamon twist, and a medium drink for only $5. Order ahead and get yours at Taco Bell's contactless drive-thru. At participating locations for a limited time. Prices may vary. Tax extra. Drinks exclude freezes.
Have you wanted to speak a new language but thought it would be too difficult? Then try Babbel. Babbel starts by teaching you words and phrases that gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations. So in 15 minutes a day, you'll be speaking a new language in a few weeks. Babbel is built around real life. It teaches you practical conversations that you will actually use. Babbel, language for life. Now try Babbel for free. Just go to babbel.com. That's BABBEL.com.
Master Remodeler is not your typical construction company. With 20 years of experience, our systems will help you navigate the kitchen, bath, or addition of your dreams. Call us at 458-0416 or online at remodelingknoxville.com.
Johnson, our CFO needs some info for the IPO ASAP.
No problem, boss. Just search the web. Cumulus Digital has helped our SEO big time.
Speak English, Johnson.
Search engine optimization.
SEO, huh?
That's A-okay.
CumulusDigital.com.
This time of year can be taxing, not governmental taxing. I'm talking about the quality of water in East Tennessee can be taxing on your skin, your hair, your health, and water heaters, humidifiers, and coffee makers. So take your tax return and fix your taxing water now. Hi, I'm David Brewster from AquaClear Water Systems, and right now you can get up to $200 off and up to 24 months, no interest. So call 694-1725, 694-1725, or sign up at our website, AquaClearWS.com, AquaClearWS.com.
Benchmark Physical Therapy is a leading physical therapy provider dedicated to bringing you back to your best. Benchmark focuses on proven methods, people helping people. Benchmark has more advanced certified clinicians than anyone in the region and outcomes that exceed national standards. Benchmark therapists know the importance of establishing trust with their patients. With over 30 locations in the Knoxville area, we have one close to you, including Harriman, Farragut, Kodak, and North Shore Drive. Visit benchmarkpt.com for a location near you.
Thanks for listening to In the Cage MMA.